not to mess your music up while I'm up here. So I don't mess it up. It's almost just literally said it like this. Sorry, y'all. I know you came for a professional stuff. That's just not what you get here. But you know that because you keep coming back every week. So I'm so glad, like you said, that we're here. We just sent, Jeremy sent that first video to Wayne, and I'm getting like messages. My watch is like dinging, dinging, dinging. Melinda said that, what did she say? She was like, oh, we just love it. We feel it. It tickled Wayne, she said. So she's shooting the video. So we'll be sending on pictures. We've got pictures of the kiddos and some stuff down there. Donna's texting that to me, too. So my watch is going to be going off like crazy while I'm up here. But I'm not going to be up here very long. So you're welcome ahead of time. Last week, Pastor Wayne was here with us, but we actually watched him on video, which was super cool, where he talked to us about this passage that we were in last week. We will be in it today, and then we'll actually be in the same passage next week, where it follows right after Jesus was baptized. And when he's baptized, we hear God say, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him, I am well pleased." And after his baptism, it says that the Spirit led him to the wilderness for 40 days. And after being in the wilderness, he comes back and he faces his first temptation. We learned how the devil was tempting Jesus to doubt who he really was, to doubt this identity. He said, "If you are the Son of God." Then the devil tells him, "Turn these stones into bread." We see this temptation of not only doubting who you are, but the need to prove it as well. And not just prove it, but proving it through a performance. And today, we come to this next set of temptations within this passage. The devil has taken Jesus to the holy city, and he's taken him to the highest point of the temple. And as we just heard, he says, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down." The devil asks, "If you are the Son of God." I'm going to ask you to doubt yourself one more time, to doubt your identity again. You know, when I was up here 2 weeks ago, I think, I talked about temptations, and I said how sometimes it's very easy for us to say no that one time, that first time, to be strong. And here we see the devil is sort of doing this again. He's tempting Jesus to doubt himself one more time. It's almost as if he's trying to wear Jesus down, just like he can wear us down. But this time, he isn't just asking Jesus to doubt himself. He's asking him to do this big, spectacular thing in front of all the people. He is saying, "Go and do this. Jump." And the people are going to see. You will be famous. Here is your opportunity to show all of the people who you really are, that you are the Son of God. And Jesus says, no. Jesus is faced with this clash of kingdoms just like we are. When we can be encountered with this temptation, what do we do? The temptation of wanting fame, of wanting to be seen, to be noticed, to be liked. In a world where so many people are wanting this, Jesus shows us that this is not the way. I remember when I was a little kid and I was growing up, and if you asked me what I wanted to be, I would have told you one of two things every single time. One was a doctor, and one was a professional basketball player. Now, this was before the WNBA, okay? So I knew one was very practical, one was attainable. I could go to med school and be a doctor, and one was like a pipe dream. And I knew that the chances of me being the very first woman to play professional basketball were slim to none, but that was my dream. That is what I would have told you every single time. The only influences that I had on those dreams of mine as a kid were the people that I was surrounded by, my family, my friends, people in my church, and what I watched on TV. I watched a lot of basketball, obviously. But there were no smartphones. There was no internet. There was no social media. But that is not the world that we live in today. Today, we are exposed to everything all the time. And I think that that has changed things for us a lot. And not just for the kids that are growing up, but for us as adults, too. I think it's so easy now for us to get caught up in all these things that don't really matter. worldly things. The world that we live in has created this culture of competition and comparison, where we feel the need to go to the wrong places to be validated, where we are spending so much time and energy on making ourselves look a certain way so that people will think we are something else. We are constantly being told by the world that we are not good enough unless we have, do, or look a fill-in-the-blank a certain way. Now, here's another throwback. What about disposable cameras? You know, all y'all are, there's no kids in here actually this morning. It's like these were the best things ever, right? Well, we thought they were when we were using them. You know, you had 24 pictures. If you were lucky, you had 36. And you took those things sparingly. I remember you would be somewhere and you're like, oh, I want to take a picture. And it's like you got one shot and you moved on to the next thing. And then you would take them to the store and then you would go and you would pick them up. And it was this experience of looking through them. You would look them in the store, sit in your car, and you'd like flip through them. And you would laugh because you caught the kid doing something crazy or your grandma's eyes are closed like they are in every single picture. But, you know, it's like you just sort of did it. And it was this fun thing. Taking pictures was this great thing. And now it takes 17 tries to get one picture that we think is good enough to put on social media. One picture that we think all of our friends are going to like. Because let's be serious. There's none of us, well, maybe a few of us, who will just take one picture and upload it without thinking about what's somebody going to see if they see me without makeup, if my hair is a wreck, if my outfit is a mess, if my house is all crazy dirty, everything's cluttered and everywhere. We are constantly posting what we think the world wants to see so that we can be validated, so that we can be noticed, so that we can feel important, or most importantly, so that we can get that like. And this is us as adults. What about our teens and our children that are growing up in this world, this photoshopped world? You know, I at least know that sometimes these bodies and these things and these ideas that we see on social media and in the world, they're not real. Or if they are, I can understand that this person is paid all kinds of money to spend hours at the gym with a trainer and a chef and a nutritionist to prepare the food that they may or may not eat to look like that. But what about our children and our grandchildren? Their brains cannot wrap their minds around this. They believe what they see. They are growing up believing that they need to look a certain way, that they need to have so many followers, that they need to be the next Kylie Jenner or the next YouTube sensation. Our world, our culture is being driven by validation and fame. Forbes, they recently did a study on millennials and fame, and here is what they found. More than 25% of millennials would quit their jobs in exchange for fame. 30% would rather be famous than become a lawyer. 23% would rather be famous than to become a doctor. 1 in 10 millennials would choose fame over a college degree. And this is the one that blows my mind the most, I think. 1 in 12 would cut off their own family to become a household name. What in the world? The devil, he's saying not just to Jesus, but to us, I want you to doubt yourself. I want you to have to prove yourself. I want you to seek validation from these things and these people. How awesome would it be to be the center of attention? How amazing would it be to be praised by doing this spectacular thing for all the people to see? But Jesus said no. He said, this is not where my validation comes from. This is not what I am called to do. This is not the reason that I'm here on this earth. And friends, it is not ours either. Jesus calls us out of this life of comparison and competition, and he invites us into this life of simplicity. I found this article about a month ago, and it is written by, and I'm going to butcher her name, just go ahead and wait for it, by Krista O'Reilly Taffy Digwe. I don't know, but I think that's how you say it. It's long, and don't worry, though. I didn't add to the sermon. It's part of it, because I read it, and it hits home so much, I think, for what we're talking about today. I couldn't cut it, so I said, you know what? I'll just use it, because I can't write words that make as much sense as this, so just bear with me. And some of you may have heard it before. What if all I want is a small, slow, simple life? What if I am most happy in the space of in between, where calm lives? What if I am mediocre and I choose to be at peace with that? The world is such a loud, noisy place, haranguing voices lecturing me to hustle, to improve, to build, to strive, to yearn, to grasp for more, to complete, compete, to acquire, for bigger and better, telling me to sacrifice sleep for productivity, to strive for excellence, to go big or go home, to make a huge impact in the world, make my life count. But what if I just don't have it in me? What if all the striving for excellence leaves me sad, worn out, depleted, drained of joy? Am I simply not enough? What if I never really amount to anything when I grow up, besides mom and sister and wife? But these people in my primary circle of impact, they know they are loved, and I would choose them again, given the choice. Can this be enough? What if I'd never build an orphanage in Africa, but send bags of groceries to people here and there, and support a couple of kids through sponsorship? What if I just offer the small gifts I have to the world and let that be enough? What if I don't want to write a cookbook or build a six-figure business or speak before thousands, but I write because I have something to say and I invest in a small community of women I care for and encourage them to love and care for themselves well? Because bigger isn't always better, and the individual matters. You are enough. What if I just accept this mediocre body of mine that is neither big nor small, just in between, and I embrace that I have no desire to work for rock hard abs or 18% body fat, and I make peace with it, and I decide that when I lie on my deathbed, I will never regret having just been me, take me or leave me. What if I'm a mediocre home manager who rarely dusts and mostly maintains order and makes real food but sometimes buys pizza, and who is horrified at moments by the utter mess in some areas of her home, who loves the menu plan and budget but then breaks her own rules and pushes back against rigidity, who doesn't care about decorating and fancy things, whose home is humble but safe? What if I'm not cut out for the frantic pace of this society and can't even begin to keep up, and see so many others with what appears to be boundless energy and stamina, but know that I need tons of solitude and calm, an abundance of rest and swaths of unscheduled time in order to be healthy? Body, spirit, soul, healthy. Am I enough? What if I am too religious for some and not spiritual enough for others, non-evangelistic, not bold enough, yet willing to share in quiet ways, in genuine relationship, my deeply rooted faith and my doubts and my insecurities? This will have to be enough. And if I've been married for 21 years and love my husband more today than I did yesterday, but we've never had a fairy tale romance, and we break all the experts' marriage rules about doing tons of activities together and having a bunch in common, because we don't. And we like time apart, and we like time together. Is our marriage good enough? What if I'm a mom who delights in her kids but needs time for herself and sometimes just wants to be first and doesn't like to play, but who hugs and affirms and supports her kids in their passions? A mediocre mom who can never live up to her own expectations of being good enough, let alone yours. And what if I embrace my limitations and stop railing against them, make peace with who I am and what I need, and honor your right to do the same. Except that all I want is a small, slow, simple life, a mediocre life, a beautiful, quiet, gentle life. I think it is enough. Y'all, we shouldn't have to ask ourselves if we are enough. You are. You are. We are. We shouldn't have to feel less than or question ourselves because we choose or we yearn to choose the life of simplicity. Jesus, he had the opportunity to be more than, to be over the top, to be famous, to be seen, and yet he didn't choose it. Over and over throughout his ministry, he would run away from it. It said the crowds would grow and he would take off and try to hide. He would have these encounters with people and do all these things with people, and then he would tell them, don't tell anyone. He had so many opportunities to do the big things, to be the center of attention, and yet he didn't take them. He chose to stay the course. He chose to do the simple things. He chose to go the route of pointing to the Father rather than pointing to himself. He chose to serve his Father in a way that didn't make sense, and it still doesn't to most. We are constantly being bombarded with messages telling us to please others and to serve ourselves. But we are called to just the opposite. We are called to please God and to serve others. When tempted to choose between being famous or pointing toward the Father, Jesus chose the Father. When tempted and when given the choice to be sensational rather than to serve humbly, he chose the Father over and over again. Satan, he tempts us and he wants us to doubt ourselves. He tells us to glorify ourselves, make ourselves look good, strive for fame, want to be seen, he wants you to know or to think that you are not enough, that you need to get your validation from the things and the people of this world. And Jesus says, no, that is not true, that we, each and every one of us, are created in the image of God, that we are his, and that he loves us, and that no matter what, we are enough just as we are. Let us pray. God, thank you. Thank you for the reminder that even though Satan himself wants us to try to do all of these things to be seen, to prove who we are, to doubt our identity, that you have told us from the very beginning that we are loved, that we are yours, and that we are enough. Help us as we go out today and go out and just live our lives, Lord, that we can be setting examples for you and for our children, for the world that we live in, that we don't have to get caught up in this need of being validated, but that we can point to you, that we can serve you, that we can choose this life of simplicity for you. God, we love you. And we are so grateful that you love us. And it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. As we come to communion today, the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. You brought all things into being and called them good. From the dust of the earth you formed us into your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. When rain fell upon the earth for 40 days and 40 nights, you bore up the ark on the waters, saved Noah and his family, and made covenant with every living creature on earth. When you led your people to Mount Sinai for 40 days and 40 nights, You gave us your commandments and made us your covenant people. When your people forsook your covenant, your prophet Elijah fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and on your holy mountain he heard your still, small voice. And so, with your people on earth and all the people of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. When you gave him to save us from our sin, your Spirit led him into the wilderness, where he fasted 40 days and 40 nights to prepare for his ministry. When he suffered and died on a cross for our sin, you raised him to life, presented him alive to the apostles during 40 days, and exalted him at your right hand. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. Now, when we, your people, prepare for the yearly feast of Easter, you lead us to repentance for sin and the cleansing of our hearts, that during these 40 days of Lent, we may be gifted and graced to reaffirm the covenant you made with us through Christ. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took the bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and juice. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Father and your Holy Church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Those wanting to help with communion could come forward, please. That's you. Broadway. We are in the Methodist Church. You don't have to be a member of this church or of any church to come and to receive God's grace and this goodness. So today we ask you to come.
You and I embrace surrender when you and I choose. Thank you.
as we go today, I just want to remind you to keep, I don't think I will have to, but I'm going to say it anyway, remind you to keep Pastor Wayne and Melinda in your thoughts as they are, as I said earlier, they're in the hospital, but hopefully it's a chemo week, so I don't know how that'll work out. So as we go today, I'm going to pray for us, and I'm going to pray for them as well, if you'll pray with me. God, thank you for the people that you put in our lives, for the community, for the family, for those that we didn't know we needed until we had them, and now we don't know how to be without them. And God, be with us and let us love those people. Let us be there for those people, and let us be reminded that those are the things that matter. Those are the people that matter, not all this other stuff that we get so caught up in. And God, Wayne and Melinda are some of those people to me and to so many of us in this room. And God, I just ask that you be with them. Lift them up. Let them feel your love and your presence. And let them know that you love them and we love them and that we're all here for them and we pray nothing but the best. Be with them as they go throughout today and they navigate this week, Lord. And we ask all this in your son's name. Amen.